Hi everybody. I'm doing a mic test. Can you let me know if you can hear my audio? Just type in the chat if you can hear my audio. All right, great. I'm unmuting Michael. Michael should be able to speak now as well.
Hello everyone, can you hear me?
Yes, Michael, I can hear you.
Excellent.
Okay.
Fantastic.
All right. I think we should get started now. So, all right. So, everybody, welcome to the webinar today. And today, we are really extremely privileged to have a really, really awesome, I would say, super VIP to join us in this webinar. His name is Michael Teo.
You're too kind with your words, Vince.
Well, it's gonna take a long time to talk about all your credentials. So you know what? I'll let Michael introduce himself and let all of you know some of his background and what he's been up to. Right. So Michael, if you could, you know, introduce yourself and. Let everybody know what do you do and what are some of the interesting things that happened to you. Please go ahead.
Sure. Thank you, Vince. And hello, everybody. I've heard a lot about all of you from my good friend, Vince, and that you have taken advantage of this opportunity to learn from someone whom I regard personally as a mentor of mine. And also, truth be told, as one of my investors from my company as well. So thank you, Vince, for believing in us during those earlier years of my career when everybody just thought we couldn't make it. But first and foremost, thank you again. It's great that you all are seizing this opportunity to learn about business and entrepreneurship. Again, as Vince would have introduced me, my name is Michael Teo, and I am the founder of Thriving Talents. Now, Thriving Talents, we are a talent development company aimed to help businesses, entrepreneurs, and CEOs train their human capital resources. So we're talking about training up your salespeople, training up your colleagues, your staff, to ensure that they become more profitable and productive for your business. We were established in the year 2012 and have since expanded our training and seminar footprint to 39 countries so far. God willing, by next year, 2018, we should be expanding to Estonia and Latvia very soon. At the same time as well, as Vince would have shared, I've been very grateful. I've been honored as one of Malaysia's national youth icon by the Prime Minister of Malaysia. I've had a great opportunity as well to go around the world, as I mentioned, 39 countries to speak in conferences and seminars on topics related to entrepreneurship among the young people, on business consulting, on leadership, and on strategy to CEOs from Fortune 500 companies. At the same time as well, had the awesome, awesome opportunity to learn from renowned entrepreneurs like my good friend here and investor Vince, but also from serial entrepreneur Sir Richard Branson and also Mr. Tony Fernandez of AirAsia. They've all been great people who I regard as mentors in my life. At the same time as well, I think one of the hallmarks of my personal experience running a company that delivered training services was to be engaged by Microsoft to actually do a training in the presence of President Barack Obama. So I thought that was actually one of the milestones that I personally achieved. And thank you again, Vince, for inviting me here today. And that's a little bit about what I do.
All right, cool, Michael. So you know what? I'm going to jump straight into to drill into a couple of things that you just talked about. First and foremost, I would like to pick the most awesome part first, which is the Obama story. So how did that came about, actually? I mean, what was the couple of things that happened before that to eventually lead to, you know, President Obama, you know, coming to your training?
Well, first and foremost, I'm always a believer, guys, that if you're running a business or if you're starting a new career, if you just want to be more successful and effective in anything you do in your life, one of the first things you need to have is you need to have this belief. And the belief is success is never a lonely journey. and that success comes from people around you giving you opportunities to shine. And truth be told, let me give you a little bit of background. So I started Thriving Talents in the year 2012, and during that time I was 24 years old. Now, I'm not sure how many of you are accustomed to the culture here in Malaysia where we are based at, or across Asia. You would know that if you're in a business that provides service, and if your service is providing strategy, leadership development, training, consulting to major companies' staff, what happens is that the first criteria they would judge you on is whether you have gray hair. In a sense where they will be looking whether if you have white hair to show you have wisdom, to show that you have walked the years of experiences in your life. However, when I started Thriving Talents, as I mentioned, I was just 24 years old, and I struggled because here I am, a young guy wanting to bring my passion to life. And my passion was to speak to people. My passion was to consult, to coach people, to maximize their potential. And, you know, for the next 6 months, my accounts was dry. I didn't have any business. I didn't have any client. Every time when I approached a huge organization, they would slam the door shut in front of my face. Because the first thing they would say is, you know what, mate? You remind me of my own son. Except I don't have my son coming to me to say that he could teach me leadership. So out the door you go. And that was my life, Vince. And what happened was, After 6 months of struggle, I'm someone who believes in prayer, so I prayed and I just wanted to keep my optimism level up. So one day I just decided to try my luck. I said, you know what, if I'm just going to go for the biggest organization out there, I'm just going to aim for the stars, at least you'll land on the moon. So I aimed for Microsoft, right? And, you know, I emailed Microsoft. Nobody bothered replying me. I connected with them on Facebook. I got to know who are the people that work for Microsoft here in Malaysia. I connected right. with them on Facebook. Nobody bothered to reply me. I connected with them on LinkedIn. But one of the things, though, I never give up. So what happened, I keep emailing them, not spamming them. There's a difference between following up and spamming. I didn't spam them. Every time when I follow up, I made sure I made it tactful. I made it polite, okay? So what happened was right after that, one of the Microsoft representatives decided to meet me. And then she said, you know what, young man, you have sent us 8 messages and you never give up. So I'm going to meet you. So she met me, and Microsoft has this prestigious address in Kuala Lumpur City Center, KLCC, the Petronas Twin Towers, right? Tallest twin towers in the world. So I went to meet them and I explained it to them. Again, they rejected me. They were like, you know, we have global training companies that are our partners. We don't need you. And I persevered. I remember visiting them 4 times. And then this same lady who opened Microsoft's doors to me just asked me a question. And they said, Michael, you're not going to give up, are you? And I said, no, because you are my last hope. I'm down to my last few dollars in my bank account, and you're my last hope. And she just said, okay, I'll give you a chance. We have an opening for you. It's a 4-hour training. We cannot pay you so much because we technically don't hire a lot of external trainers because we are Microsoft. So we're just going to give you a chance. Now, to cut a long story short, that happened in the year 2012. So 2014, what happened? So one day I got this idea where I wanted to meet President Barack Obama, right? And I just thought, you know what, it'll be great to meet him. So I wrote letters to the White House. I wanted to meet the president. And of course,
I'm trying to get Michael back on board. Just give us a couple of seconds. I think we accidentally have dropped him. He should be back up in a bit. Just stay tuned, all right?
Hi, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes, Michael. Welcome back.
Yes, thank you so much. Sorry about the connection.
So the last we heard is you saying that you wrote to the White House, you wanted to meet Obama, and then what happened?
Okay, so what happened was, of course, I wrote to the White House 16 times. I actually sent a social media message to all the social media platforms belonging to the president. And of course, as you would expect, nothing happened, right? So I decided to follow the age-old wisdom that was, in order for any business or trade to happen, you just need to talk to people. So I would go around asking chief executive, I even asked politicians, like ministers here in Malaysia, if they could help me to meet President Barack Obama. And obviously some of them thought that my dream was crazy. Some of them thought I have a good dream, but it was just unachievable. Like, you know, I'm not like a billionaire son or something, right? So what happened was I didn't stop asking until I came to Microsoft. So what happened was I went up to Microsoft and I said, I wanted to meet President Obama. Now, again, remember this, Microsoft engaged us for the first time in 2012. This was in 2014. And ever since then, we have been great friends with Microsoft. We have been one of their vendors as well to provide training and workshops, our services to equip their talents. So Microsoft said, you know what, Michael, we really like you. We like your training. We're going to try to help you to get President Obama to meet you. And I thought, oh my God, that would be amazing. So a few months passed and President Obama announced that he was coming to Malaysia for the first time in 2014. And boy, I was excited. So I made a call to Microsoft, like, hey guys, you know, what's up? You know, any updates? And then Microsoft told me saying that, you know, Michael, we tried our best to help you, but there's no reason for you to meet the president because the president is only coming to 2 days. He's so packed. There's no way you could meet him. But you know what? At that time, ladies and gentlemen, I felt I could be feeling sad. I could be hitting myself. I could feel all the regrets. But I really felt, you know, one of the biggest lessons I learned about running a business or starting anything, you don't want to live with regrets. And the regrets here is if you did not try at all, that would be your biggest regret. At least I know I have this dream of meeting President Obama. And even though if I didn't get to meet him, at least I know I tried. Now, what happened was I recall that day, Vince, and it was so funny, right? I was about to hang up the phone, and then the Microsoft lady just kept yelling on the phone, Michael, don't hang up. Hello, hello. And I said, yes, Michael, we got an idea for you. We like you. We have an idea for you where we are going to invite you to be one of the facilitators. You're going to do a workshop, and we're going to invite President Barack Obama, who will be accompanied by the Prime Minister of Malaysia, Dato' Sri Najib, to come to your workshop. You're going to be facilitating the workshop. We want you to be not the best trainer in Malaysia. We want you to be the best trainer in the world for that 1 hour. Right. Because President Obama is going to come. He's going to sit in your, he's going to observe your workshop for a while. You need to be the best. And you know what, Vince, the rest is history. We got a picture with President Obama. I had a chance to talk to him. And today I use that as a testimonial whenever I go to companies. And now truth be told, Vince, my company, Thriving Talents, we are known to be the young company around the region. We are all Gen Ys. I'm age 30 years old this year, and I'm a dinosaur in my company now. All my other colleagues and directors, they're all in their 20s. But every time when I go to clients right now, when clients ask me, you know, you're young, some look at me, you could be naive as well. How good are you? And I just shared the story with them. I said, I believe when we admit we are the best, that is when we hit a ceiling. Because using the word best, even though it's comforting, it's a confidence booster. Problem is, we would be stuck in that mentality that we're always the best. So we will not grow. So one of the things I always do is, I always tell my clients, we admit we may not be the best yet, but we strive to be better and better every day. And if you don't think we have any global standards, I doubt a global company like Microsoft would actually invite us to facilitate a workshop and then invite the world's most powerful man to come to that workshop with their entire world reputation on the line and give us the stage to impress the leader. So again, if you were to ask me, Vince, what lesson I could draw from here, number one, success is not a lonely journey. It's a collection of people who decides to give you an opportunity to become successful. For my case, Microsoft gave me that chance. Number two, persistent pace. in a sense where when you really want to make that business deal work, or really you really want to make that trade happen with that other person, persist, talk to them. Always be asking the question, how do I add value? How do I add value? Because at the end of the day, even though when I was talking to Microsoft, I wanted business from them, I wasn't there to just pitch a random training or seminar program to them. I was there constantly understanding, expecting, anticipating what they would want from my training services. And I believe people would connect well with you when they're able to see that you have their interests in mind. And last but not least, I believe, you know, never be afraid to ask. One of the lessons I learned from running a business is if you're afraid to ask for the business, you will never get the business. I was bold enough to ask Microsoft to give me a chance to meet President Barack Obama, though a lot of people would say that was random at that time. But hey, I am the only training company in Malaysia now to claim that our head facilitator, myself, have actually facilitated a workshop in the presence of President Barack Obama and the Malaysian Prime Minister. So again, let your imaginations run wild.
I think nothing beats the coolness factor of able to claim that you know, you're able to meet with President Obama. Actually, I think that's the best thing ever.
You know, and for me, Vince, the best part is, I mean, you believed in us when we first started in 2012. So thank you again.
Well, I think the if I were to track back like what you have mentioned, right, it actually started with you trying to connect to Microsoft, getting ignored initially, the email,
yes.
You send a message to LinkedIn and Facebook and stuff like that. And that was
of course.
The thing that linked, that eventually led to the President Obama episode, right?
Oh yeah, definitely, yes.
So you know, speaking of all these different networking tools, whether on Facebook or LinkedIn or email and stuff like that, how big of a contribution all these different tools has been to your business and to your success actually?
Enormous. Let me give you all an example. Okay, I could see there's a lot of you watching this right now. Thank you again for joining us, ladies and gentlemen, my future successful entrepreneurs. I have a question for you, and I hope you can be honest with me, okay? So let's participate in this. How many of you here let's start with the first question. How many of you here have a LinkedIn account? If you could just post it on the chat room right there, just say yes. How many of you have a LinkedIn account? All right, very good. Excellent. Okay, so for those of you who have a LinkedIn account, here we go. My second question. Do you post an update on your LinkedIn account every single day? All right, my third question. Okay, there you go. My third question right now. Have you been adding people on your LinkedIn account? I'm talking about adding people here. Is that adding people who may become your prospect, who may become your customer? Have you been adding them on LinkedIn? Okay. And know this, it's a numbers game. All right. You add them sometimes, good. But the majority of the answer is no. So here is my answer to you, right? Number one, get a LinkedIn account. Extremely important. Polish it up. Again, you know, one of the things, because Vince is my investor and is a mentor of mine, I'd like to invite all of you who's listening to the sound of my voice right now, look me up on LinkedIn, add me on LinkedIn. And one of the things you could see is that you could actually see how I basically present my LinkedIn profile, okay? So that's number one. Number two, you need to constantly post up LinkedIn updates on your LinkedIn account. In a sense where I know some of you may be thinking, Michael, you know, what am I going to post up every day? You know, my life is not so eventful. Guess what? You want to make it eventful, right? So to make it eventful, what you need to do is you need to start getting clients. You need to start getting people talking about you on LinkedIn. So you may not have any events to post up right now. Easy. Go onto Google, look up a ton of motivational quotes, download 100 of them, and just post one by one every day. That was how I started. And then what people will then start to see that there's some activity going on in your LinkedIn account. You're building traction, you're building a community. And then what happened is, should people reply to that status? Should they agree or they challenge that status of yours on LinkedIn? Reply to them, respond to them. That's when you start building a relationship. Last but not least, really, really look out to people who could be your customers on LinkedIn. I mean, for me, running Thriving Talents, we have a standard. That standard is we reach out to Fortune 500 companies. So we would go onto LinkedIn and we would just add people. Now again, I could actually run another webinar just sharing about how you could optimize your LinkedIn, but I hope I'm sharing something useful for you. When you want to add someone on LinkedIn, always add a message. In a sense, I always share with them. It could be where, Mr. Michael Teo, I'm so inspired by your webinar today. I would love to add you on my LinkedIn so I could learn from you. Because there is a research that show you are 60% more likely to get someone to approve your LinkedIn requests when you add a message, especially a personalized message to them. Now again, just to share with all of you, like being persistent, LinkedIn is a numbers game. Even with my profile today, I would still be adding 20 people on LinkedIn, and perhaps I only have 3 people who would agree to approve of my friendship, if I would say, on LinkedIn. But ladies and gentlemen, let me share this with you. If you want to grow your business, if you want top clients to come to you, do this. It's a numbers game. That 3 people who said yes to me eventually became my clients. They are people, they are leaders from HSBC, they are leaders from SAP, they are leaders from Oracle, they are leaders from Philip Morris International. These are all global companies that have very high standards to work with them. And I just made that connection, went in, delivered leadership workshops, entrepreneurship workshops on them, and bam, the next thing I know, I'm their vendor. The next thing I know, they're coming back to me saying, Michael, we have all this training, why not you train us? That's how you start.
So just trying to be, just trying to like get the most out of the answer that you just gave us and the tips that you gave us, right? Like over the last couple of months, exactly what are the clients that you got because of LinkedIn? If it's possible to share some of the names out there.
Wow, we're talking to Pfizer. As you know, Pfizer is one of the world's largest pharmaceutical company that produces Viagra drugs. So that's interesting. We're talking to Durex, the world's largest condom producer. Okay, I don't want to sound sexual right here, but you know, it's just that they're replying to our messages. We're speaking to Unilever. You know, Unilever is one of the market leaders for all the fast-moving consumer goods around the world. We got HSBC. We reached out to HSBC from LinkedIn. We got them in as well. Very excited about that. We got a few more companies. We got Intel from LinkedIn. I mean, these are all huge companies, right? And, you know, when you reach out to them on LinkedIn, it's personalized.
So you're saying that all the one that you mentioned, you truly have gotten them just from LinkedIn itself?
Of course. Wow. And again, you know, and here's the powerful stuff, right, Vince? You need to be consistent in a sense where, bearing in mind, before I reach out to them, I would have been very active on LinkedIn for the past 3 months, where every day there was an update from me. Every day there was a comment that I would make about a topic. There will be photos that I upload about some of the trainings, the speaking engagements, the seminars that I've done. So they would have known who I am. They may not have responded to me yet, but they would have known who I am. So that was how I reached out to them.
But nonetheless, right? I mean, even though like you put up your content or your past event on your profile and all that, but having been able to win a deal based on the fact that you connect through LinkedIn is really amazing, right? I mean, when you think about like how people always say that, you got to be somebody to be able to get access to all these Fortune 500 companies. You know how they always have this mentality, right? So do you think that LinkedIn really has leveled the play field in a way that, you know, like never before, where everybody now has a very significant chance of trying to win big deals with big companies? What do you think?
You know, Vince, before I answer your question, let me bring us all back into context, right? Guys, you know, and of course, ladies listening to this right now, Vince and I really, you know, we go way back, and he's someone that I really admire. And we have had this chat before this webinar, and Vince had asked me to be brutally honest, okay? No sugarcoating, no sucking up to you, all of you, but just presenting the hard facts, okay? The hard fact is, Vince, to answer your question, yes, there is some truth. You need to be someone on LinkedIn in order for people to want to approve you and want to connect with you. But Vince, we got to start somewhere. So let me bring you back into context, as I mentioned.
Right.
Remember the time when I started Thriving Talents in 2012? And, yeah, you know, I was talking to companies. I was being persistent. For the next 6 months, I had no income at all. And then what happened was when Microsoft decided to give me that opportunity, and thank God we did a good job with them, it's a snowball effect. So you see, I was a small company in the year 2012. I started Thriving Talents with my girlfriend. So couple power, yay. So what happened was, it was only both of us operating from a 3-bedroom rundown apartment, okay? And we were just trying to make ends meet. And when Microsoft came in to give us our first shot in the year 2012, you know, after 6 months of dry spell of no income, our next client was Sony. Our next client was General Electric. Our next client was Dell. You can imagine, all these are Fortune 500 companies which are all in the IT space. What happened? It's because with Microsoft being our first client, that opened us a huge floodgate where all these companies are now taking notice of us. So again, why am I saying this? Truth be told, you need to be someone on LinkedIn, but you can be someone. You can be someone by first taking the first step, aiming high, going for the big boys, doing whatever it takes, whatever it requires to get them to give you a chance. And you need to evaluate yourself. You need to know if they give you a chance, you can deliver the goods. And once you do that, the floodgate is open. It's the snowball effect. And everybody starts coming in, you know? That's what happened. So yes, to answer your question, you need to be someone on LinkedIn, but you need to start somewhere. I mean, you could start off by talking about your business on LinkedIn, or even if you have added people, comment about what they post up. You know, here's one thing I learned about networking, Vince, and about building relationships. No matter how much people tell you that they are selfless, they will always, always be selfish. Not in a bad way, but they will be selfish in a sense where people love when they get attention. People love when you're able to give them that focus. So what happened is, on LinkedIn or anywhere on social media, even on Facebook, even on Twitter, maintain the consistency, always have engagement with them, always talk to them. You'll be rather surprised. The next time when they meet you face to face, they would feel that they have known you for the rest of their lives because you have been engaging them. Consistency is key, guys.
So, but like you say, I mean, like when you started as well, you know, you were like posting up quotes and stuff like that, things that anybody would have been able to do. Am I right?
Not true. Anybody could do, but how many of us are actually doing it?
Right. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you know, people could say, I have the ability to work with Fortune 500 companies. And I look at them, I said, you know, good luck. I really wish you well in your journey, but what are you doing about it? And they were like, oh, Michael, you just got lucky. You know, these Fortune 500 clients, they're CEOs, they're executives, they work with you because, you know, I'm not out there. Because I am not out there. And I just look at them and just smiled. And I just said, you know what? Here's the point. You're missing the point. The point is, I am out there. You're not. Right. So take that first step. Are you building relationship with these companies? Are you having a genuine interest that you want to help them? Yeah.
Got it. Okay. But you know, speaking of LinkedIn versus like Facebook, right? What's your thoughts between how you use Facebook and how you use LinkedIn? I mean, does these two serve two different purposes in your world, or they both do the same thing for you?
Here's my opinion. Facebook is good if you have a business that is promoting a consumer product, or you're providing a service that is meant for a consumer market. Because that is the, in my impression, right? That is the positioning of Facebook. Facebook has a lot of things going on. They're meant for teenagers. They're meant for youth. Everyone is flooding Facebook.
Right.
However, if you're providing a professional service, or if you're providing a high-end product, like a medical product, a technology product, a business solutions product or service, you would want to be on LinkedIn. Because the positioning that LinkedIn has taken up is that they are the go-to place for you to digitally, virtually network with people of corporate stature. So again, these are the difference, I would say.
Okay, that's cool. And besides Facebook and LinkedIn, do you use anything else, you know, in terms of networking online and stuff like that?
Wow. Okay. We've been talking a lot about networking online. One of the things I'd like to share right now is networking offline. Now, one of the things I always do is that I always volunteer my time to speak at conferences, to speak at previews, to speak at trade shows. And people would tend to say, Michael, are you crazy? Like, people would pay you. I mean, my highest speaking fee so far, and Vince, you know this because we talked about this, we laughed about this, you know. My highest speaking fee so far is $54,000 for an hour and a half engagement, right, to 4,000 people. So that was pretty cool. And you were there when we had that coffee. But it's interesting. You know, people would say, Michael, you're getting paid 54 grand to speak to a crowd of 4,000 people, yet why are you giving free talks to conferences? Now, again, I'm not advocating for you to give free talks to everyone. I give free talks to industry events. So these are industry events whom I know my prospects will be in. So, you know, I'll be giving talks to 100 CEOs. And then what happened is these 100 CEOs, I just need to get 5 CEOs from that conference who would agree to pay my company 100 grand each to do a training, to do a leadership seminar, to do a leadership workshop. That deal would have been worth it. So again, you know, it's all about perspective. So when someone asks you to speak, and I know that you know, just to have that perspective, it's a great opportunity for you to market your business. And whenever you take the stage, you are always seen as the authority. You're always seen as the leading expert. People would kill, people would fight to get to where you are on that stage. So if you can be on that stage, take up the opportunity, treat the event organizers well, the conference organizers well, get them into your good books, and then hey, free publicity for you. And because of that, because you're seen as the authority, people would be more willing to network with you.
And am I right to say that you've been getting engagements like this also through LinkedIn and stuff like that? Am I right?
Definitely. So on LinkedIn, what happened right now is, okay, so I've built some track record, right, Vince? So yeah. Now I start posting up pictures of me doing training, me speaking to CEOs. In fact, Vince, this just happened like right now. So yesterday, you know, my team and I, we were very honored. We got an early Christmas present from Tony Fernandez, the AirAsia CEO and founder. And he gave us his latest autobiography, which he personally autographed, right? Wow. I just posted that picture of my team posing with his book. And guess what? Just today, we had 13,000 views on LinkedIn. And more than 500 of these 13,000 views were all CEOs.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
And again, I wasn't promoting my company. You know, I was just showing my LinkedIn friends and followers that, you know, I'm so grateful that Tony Fernandez, you know, a mentor figure to me, has been so kind to give an early Christmas present, an autographed book of his story. And I mean, I'm grateful. I'm showing my gratitude, and bam, within 24 hours, 13,000 views. And these are qualified views, Vince, 500 over CEOs. And, you know, LinkedIn has this functionality, right, where you could actually trace where these CEOs come from. And I saw that a lot of them came from, of course, AirAsia, obviously. I'm talking about their boss. They came from IBM. They came from Oracle, SAP, Maybank, which is Malaysia's largest bank. I mean, check it out. At least now I know where my target market is. And if I were to network with them, I could easily just message them on LinkedIn and say, hey, you know, I noticed that you liked my photo where I showcase one of my the business book that I've got from Tony Fernandez, the story about AirAsia. And I was just wondering, because if you have viewed and liked my picture that I just posted, are you interested in leadership? because we do that training. I'd love to explore more with you. I'd love to get my team to talk to you. There you go, Vince. I think one of the other lessons I want to share with everybody here is that when you network, it's easy to network. It's easy to be introducing yourself to people, saying hi. But one of the biggest danger, Vince, one of the biggest danger is that, you know, when you go for a networking event,
yep,
and you give your business card to people, what happens next? I can tell you, I've met so many people. I give out my business card, they give them mine, and then they will tell me this awesome line, sarcastically, okay? This awesome line reads, Michael, I'll call you, I'll email you. And guess what?
They don't.
I never hear from them again. Now, let's change the equation. Every time when you give out your business card in a networking event, make sure you follow up and you follow through. If you promise someone you're going to give them a call in 2 days, you bloody hell give them a call.
Right.
Or at least drop them a text, because that is the first test they're going to see. Are you committed for this? Are you even serious you want to connect with them? Do that.
Okay, I was just looking at the post that you just did on your LinkedIn about the book, and I see,
yes,
that there's 91 likes, and I'm looking at the 91 likes, I can already see that there are general manager of public listed company, HR,
yep,
managers, learning directors, I mean, like at least like probably 40% of them are potentially could be your customer.
And, correct.
And they are working in the right position in the company that you can
get
in touch with. Am I right?
Correct. So, correct.
So out of 91, if you follow up with 30 of them, and out of 30, yep, you get like 20%, you get 6 new clients. Well, that's just from one post that you just posted up.
Yes. And Vince, I mean, you would know because you are one of our investors, right? Our training programs, the cheapest we will go is around 10 grand.
Yep.
So do the maths.
Hey, wait a minute. Tony Fernandez liked your post as well.
There you go. Yay.
So
there you go.
So question is this, right? I mean, I want to drill in even further deeper into this. I mean, you know, when you message people on LinkedIn, right?
Sure.
Especially for the first time,
great.
Like, how the message goes? I mean, if you don't mind, like sharing with people.
Yeah, sure.
Like, is it very customized kind of message, a general message, or what kind of message?
All right. There's a theory I want to share with all of you, okay? And it's called finding points of familiarity. Finding points of familiarity. And I want you to remember this concept, ladies and gentlemen. People will like people who are like them. People will like people who are like them.
Right.
Okay? So what happened is that one of the things, if you want to connect with people on LinkedIn, you first need to see. Okay, so one of the strategies I use is that you would notice, Vince, all the clients I've mentioned to you, HSBC, SAP, Oracle, these are all well-known brands, right? Microsoft. So what happened is I would always start the message by saying, "Dear Vince, thank you for reading my message. I am Michael Teo from Thriving Talents. I'm a customer of your product and a happy one too. I hope to connect with you to explore opportunities." For example, one of them could be that. Or a second template I could give you that have worked really well for me could be, "Hello Vince, my name is Michael Teo and I am an entrepreneur. I'm a believer that great things happen when like-minded people connect. I hope to connect with you. Thanks." Something like that, you know? So you want to find the points of interest. And most importantly, when you send messages like that out, you want people to be able to see your sincerity, okay? So that is how they're going to approve you. That is how they're going to see that, okay, you're genuine. At least they're going to give you a chance. So that would be the few things that I'd like to share. Or it's even better, Vince, if you are already a consumer of your product and if you are happy with your product. For example, Dell. "Dear Vince, my name is Michael Teo and I'm proud to share I've been a Dell customer for the past 15 years. I do training now and I hope to be able to work with you." Right. Something simple. And there you go. That's when the magic happens.
So that's exactly what you do day in, day out.
Oh yes. Oh wow. Yeah.
Okay. Because I was thinking that, is there some kind of magic pill that you use or something like that? Because the people that you're getting is just like extremely high caliber and like top notch. So.
Well, again, Vince, I mean, thank you for that. But again, let's remember the point. The point is, I could connect with these people because, I mean, I have track records now. Right. I have track records in a sense where you just mentioned, you know, I'm one of Malaysia's national youth icon. That helps a lot. I'm a Malaysia Book of Records holder. I am a global advisor with Microsoft's Youth Spark Initiative. I sit on a few boards in the public sector here. I'm one of Malaysia's youngest board members. So again, I've built the track record, but you got to start somewhere, Vince.
Yep.
You gotta start somewhere, because I think a lot of people, they don't achieve what they want is because they don't even bother starting.
Right.
There you go. Yeah.
Okay. Well, so how did the so speaking of Tony Fernandez, right? Is that also happen through LinkedIn or something, or is that through?
No, not for Tony. Tony was interesting. So Tony Fernandez, for those of you outside of Malaysia, he is one of our celebrated entrepreneurs here in Malaysia, a multi-billionaire. He is the founder of the world's best low-cost airline, which is AirAsia, okay? The red airline, as you will remember. Now, Tony Fernandez, my relationship with him started way back in the year 2009. I was just a fresh graduate, and I've been a fan of Tony Fernandez. So I decided one day I would stalk him. Now, I know that sounds very, whoa, that's like you would stalk him. Now, hear me out. So I would pinpoint where is Tony giving his speech next. And I would go for that conference, whether it be in a university or in a business conference. I would invest a little bit of money to go to that conference. And then when he speaks, thank God he's casual, friendly person, and I would always find the chance to go and shake his hand and at least say hi to him. Now, I would have done that, I don't know, 6 times in a year. So every time he would see me, he would be like, hey, aren't you that guy? Hey, aren't you that guy? Hey, aren't you that guy from that day? Oh my God, you're really stalking me. So I'm like, yeah, I'm a big fan, right? And of course, that would create some curiosity in him to get to know me more. And that was what happened, you know. Right after that, I decided that I arranged a meeting with him, and then we became friends. So he's a mentor figure to me today.
Wow. Okay. So I will put it as like you are consistent with your stalking.
Am I gonna say that? I mean, again, I am stalking someone, not in the creepy sense, but because he really inspired me. And I think he could see that, you know. And again, Vince, I want to tell you something. One of my mentors have shared with me, and he said, Michael, successful leaders will not mentor you unless they can see that you too can be successful. So what happened was, it was a few years. So I met Tony in 2009, and then it was in the year 2011, I met him again. And that was the year where he did that video, Vince. If you know that, he did a YouTube video for me where he gave me a testimonial, and that blew everybody away. They were like, Tony Fernandez, a billionaire, AirAsia founder, giving you a testimonial? Ha, right. I'm like, guys, I have a video to prove it. It's on YouTube. So what happened was, when he met me and when I videoed him giving that testimonial, it was so touching when he said that, you know, he has never met anyone so positive, so persistent like Michael. And you know, I think the reason why he kept in touch with me was because he could see my growth. And as you just mentioned, Vince, he just liked my LinkedIn status. And I think he has 121,000 followers on LinkedIn, and I'm just one of his followers, but he decided to like my status. I mean, come on, that's awesome. There you go.
Sorry, the button was not functioning. Okay, so
I mean, no worries.
So and you were saying that you got in touch with Sir Richard Branson as well, am I right?
All right, that's okay. So there's two parts to this story. So what happened was, and again, it's related to networking. Okay, guys, it's related to networking. So Sir Richard Branson was coming to Malaysia to speak in the year 2010. And I remember the fee to hear him speak was very high. Of course, he's Sir Richard Branson. And I just started my job, right? This was in the year 2010, before Thriving Talent, before I started to pursue my passion. Anyways, so what happened was he came to Malaysia in 2010. And I was a fresh graduate. I thought, you know what? I want to hear him speak, but I couldn't because I couldn't afford his fee. So, you know, here's the turning point, Vince. Are you going to give up because you couldn't afford it, or are you going to try other avenues? So one of the things I did was when I saw that newspaper advertising that Sir Richard Branson was coming to Malaysia, I actually looked at who were the sponsors that was sponsoring the event. And I noticed one of the sponsors was one of the newspapers here in Malaysia, which I happened to meet the managing editor of this newspaper in a networking event. Right. Problem was, it was a year ago. I met him a year ago, and being the fresh graduate that I was, I didn't keep in touch with him. You know, I got his business card, and then again, guilty as charged, I just told him, hey, I'll keep in touch, man. I'll keep in touch. Never bothered to email him. And here I am a year later, seeing that his company is the sponsor for Sir Richard Branson's talk. I thought, you know what? How hard do I want this dream to happen? How hard do I want to meet Sir Richard Branson? Very hard, right? I want to meet him. I summoned all my courage. I emailed him and I said, you know, his name is Rocky. So I said, Rocky, my name is Michael Teo. I wouldn't be surprised if you have forgotten about me. My bad, because I met you in a networking event a year ago and I never bothered to say hi to you. I'm so sorry, but I need your help. Sir Richard Branson has been one of the icons that have inspired me in my entrepreneurial pursuits. I want to meet him. And again, I want to share with all of you a networking tip right here. When you network with people, it's very easy for us to be asking something from them. But whenever you feel you want to ask something from them at the get-go, beat yourself, like smack your hand. Yeah, like naughty hand, smack your hand. Why? You should never do that. In a sense where, especially when you want to build that first relationship with people, always think about how you can give them value. So in my email to Rocky, I said, Rocky, you know, I was very apologetic, of course. And then I said, Rocky, I want to meet Sir Richard Branson. I need your help. But I know nothing is free in this world. So I'm going to volunteer to work in your newspaper company for 2 months after working hours because I had a regular job at that time. I'm going to work with you after normal working hours. So that would be 8 p.m. until 11 p.m. every evening. I will work with you as your editor. If you want me to write articles, if you want me to insert newspaper clippings, I would do all that for you for free for 2 months every night. Just give me the ticket to see Sir Richard Branson. Now, 2 weeks later, he replied, jing jang. He replied and he said, Michael, number one, we are not hiring and I don't need extra help. Thank you very much. And upon reading that line, I thought, oh my God, there goes my dream in smokes, wanting to meet Sir Richard Branson. Right. But then he said, Michael, one thing I admire about you is that unlike any other people, you did not demand, you did not ask. You were just giving. You were always thinking about how you could give, how you could exchange value. And because of that, Michael, let me be honest with you. I'll be away when Sir Richard Branson comes to Malaysia. I'll be away to watch the Singapore Formula One night race. So I wouldn't be able to attend. But Michael, here's the catch. I am the main sponsor and I have a VVIP ticket. I'm going to give that ticket to you. You're going to have a front row seat. You're going to have a chance to meet Sir Richard Branson.
Wow.
And I was ecstatic, you know, and there I was at the front row seat and Sir Richard Branson right in front of me, moderated by CNN anchor host, Lorraine Hahn. And then There you go. That was how it started. Okay, now, here's the next point. So Sir Richard Branson spoke, right, for 45 minutes. And then Lorraine Hahn asked the crowd, are there any questions? Now, again, Vince, there were 200 of us there. Why 200? Because the ticket was so damn expensive. There's only 200 of us there. Okay. So what happened was these were all CEOs, right? And then the host asked the crowd, you know, any questions for Sir Richard Branson? No one was willing to ask. Basically, I heard whispers from a CEO of a public listed company seated next to me. He was saying, you know, I wouldn't want to ask a question to Sir Richard Branson. I mean, what if my question is not smart? What if Sir Richard Branson thinks I'm stupid because I asked a not so sophisticated question? That was what he said. And I just looked at it. I'm like, you know what? And again, guilty as charged again, ladies and gentlemen. I was fearful as well. So the host asked, okay, going once, question for Richard Branson. Going twice, come on, you're all CEOs. Going three times, I raised up my hand, went up to the mic, and then I just asked the question. And I asked this question. I said, Sir Richard Branson, my name is Michael Teo. What is your advice for young people in Malaysia? And of course, eloquently, Sir Richard Branson answered. Now, during that time, Vince, people were laughing at me. I heard people laughing, and they were like, what kind of stupid question is that? Some were even whispering that boy just wasted Richard Branson's time. But guess what? I stepped up. I asked him a question. He remembered me. Now, what happened? Now, there's a part three to this story. So right after he answered my question, which, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to know Richard Branson's advice, I'm going to give it to you for free. Go on to YouTube, type my name, Michael Teo, type Richard Branson on the YouTube search bar. You'll see that video. Man, I love giving free stuff, Vince. Anyways, so what happened is, right after Richard Branson's talk, he was escorted out of the building. So he was escorted to the elevator, right, where he was going to attend a press conference. So during that time, I don't know where I summoned my courage. I summoned all my courage. I followed him. I tailed him. So I tailed him from the back, and I was stopped by one of his bodyguard in front of the elevator. And the bodyguard said, sorry, we have noticed you from since just now. Your journey ends here. And I thought, you know what? It's great. You know, unlike all the other 199 CEOs in the room, I got to see Richard Branson for an extra 2 minutes because I followed him, right?
Right.
But what happened was Richard Branson saw me waiting, and he just waved his hand inviting me in.
Wow.
And there I was in the elevator with Sir Richard Branson. And I talked to him more, and he remembered my name because I asked him a question. And right. That was how it started, you know? And then there you go. So what happened was, okay, this happened in 2010, Vince. Fast forward 2000, to cut a story short, I won a competition in the UK, and it was the world's largest social entrepreneurship competition, contested among 45,000 people from 165 countries, and I won, right? And when I won that competition, I was, 24 years old, the youngest competitor to have ever won. Guess what, Vince? Sir Richard Branson is the patron of that competition.
Whoa.
The competition was held in conjunction with the Global Entrepreneurship Congress in Liverpool, UK. He was the patron, and he saw me. He was like, didn't I meet you somewhere? I said, yeah, in Malaysia.
Okay.
There you go. And then after that, you know, I've had great opportunities to learn from Sir Richard Branson. You know, he's been like a mentor figure to me as well. It's amazing, Vince. And again, it all starts with networking, but it all starts with stepping up, summoning all your courage, your balls, if I may, to just go out there and make a statement, to go out there to make your presence felt.
Right, right. And can I say that, you know, some people out here, or I mean, in this room, or probably even outside of this webinar room, right? I'm not sure what's your perspective on this, but then a lot of people's perspective on networking is that they thought that, you know, it requires some kind of magic pill to make it happen and things like that. But I mean, do you agree that, you know, it is actually nothing extraordinary, unusual, but except to step up, make the first message, get the first contact, and go with that flow of it?
Vince,
yep.
I've got a solution to that. I've got an answer to that, okay?
Right.
So now I run Thriving Talent, and I have a fabulous team of people. I have a very capable CEO who's running the company. I'm the founder, and I'm also the marketing person, in a sense, because I love what I do. I speak to people from all around the world. I work with CEOs. I love it, Vince. So right. I always find myself going out there networking with people, closing sales. And, you know, we have closed a great 7 figures this year. We're so happy. We're aiming for more for next year. We're very optimistic.
Yep.
But here's the thing, Vince. My job as a spokesperson for Thriving Talents still revolves around sales and marketing. And I remember when I started reaching out to people to network. I remember it was stressful because every time I would be networking with people having a hidden agenda. My agenda would be, I gotta close sales. I gotta close sales. Guess what? And no sales ever happen because people do not want to deal with a salesman.
Right.
They want to deal with a friend. So what happened is, Vince, I decided, you know what, when I network with people, sure, I want to sell them a product, but at the end of the day, I want to understand how my company can help them. I want to understand how my product and service can help them. I go into a conversation not treating them as a customer. I treat them as a friend. I take interest in them. I research about them. I actively listen for cues when they mention about their interests.
Right.
There you go. And then that was what happened. And then you know what, Vince? Ever since that, my sales meetings, my networking calls were all amazing. I enjoy it because every time I know I'm reaching out to people, for example, Google, right? Google's not our client yet. But when I meet someone in Google, I know even though we may not have a deal today, at least I know I've made a friend in Google. There you go.
Got it. So, over the last, couple of years, right?
Sure.
Has I would say, does the networking skill that you have, did it change over time as the digital evolution changed? Did it affect it in any way or fundamentally networking remains the same?
All right. There's two responses to that question, Vince. Number one is digital evolution. It will definitely change the way how you network. So we need to be open.
Right.
We need to be open. We need to know, like right now, I even network using Instagram. And in Instagram, I know people like to see pictures. So what happened is I will network through pictures. I will make sure I upload pictures that tell the products I do, that tell the passion that I have, number one. Number two, Vince, you talk about fundamentals, right? You know, Vince, here's the interesting part. You would have noticed, and I hope all of you would agree with me, ladies and gentlemen, my fellow entrepreneurs, I have been very structured in my thought, correct?
Yep.
I'm sharing with you a system. So what happened is the fundamental has not changed. In fact, Vince, I know I've shared this with you earlier on, and you know, you've guided me so much, and I want to thank you for supporting me all these years. I have just launched a product, which is Speed Networking to Wealth, which I would love to give to all your subscribers, to all your students for free. So Vince, I know I've talked to you about this. I said, you know what, just for you, Vince, please do share the link with your students. Let them download this 24-episode, I believe it was 24-episode series, where I actually share step-by-step on how you could network to your wealth, how you could close high-end clients, how do you build genuine relationship. And I'm here to give it to all your subscribers for free, Vince, and only you, okay? So guys, take up the opportunity. You will learn the fundamentals that I've used over there.
Wow, thanks a lot, Michael. I think that's extremely, extremely helpful. And how many of you guys would like to have access to that? I mean, if you say yes, enough, and thank Michael for it, we will put a link up here.
No, thank you, guys. Thank you.
Well, we are coming towards the end of this session, but maybe we could do one or two couple of questions. If anyone have any specific question at all for Michael,
sure.
Start typing your question into the chat so that we can get this question answered by Michael himself, because Michael is an extremely, extremely busy person. And you would imagine that we are having a webinar in the middle of the night, like past midnight in Malaysia. So that's how busy he is that I have to catch him at this hour. So anyone have any question at all, you know, please do type in there. Yes, Michael.
Vince, you know I'll do anything for you, okay? I'll do anything for you. So don't worry. You're too kind with your words today. And all of you are just too kind, really. Thank you for giving me this opportunity and for hearing me out, you know, hearing my 2 cents worth of tidbits.
Well, I'm the investor of your company and you're making money for me. So I'm happy about that.
All right. So, we have a question, Vince.
Yes, yes. So Mai is saying that I wonder how to start your career as a speaker when you don't have much experience yet. So,
all right,
what's your take on that?
My take is, when I started my career as a speaker, I started off in universities. So I would go speak to university students, and I would do it over and over again just to improve my competency in speaking. And then what happened is that you need to identify one area that you're going to be very good at. So if you're going to talk about leadership topics, you got to make sure you research a lot on leadership topics. You know, for me, the area of expertise I have is on sales. It's on millennials. That is the youth market we're talking about. It's on leadership and it's about entrepreneurship. So these are the four topics I talk about. If you come to me and said, Michael, I would like you to talk about accounting. Sorry, that won't happen. Right. Because when I started speaking many years ago, I started from those four topics. So that was how it starts. So start off doing university talks, start off volunteering in NGOs. And again, you know, thank you, Mike, for that question. Who is to judge you? Who is going to judge you if you have enough experience or not? Right. I mean, really, like, you know, who's going to judge you? At the end of the day, you could be a 50-year-old, but if I've invited you to come and talk about internet marketing, I know that that 50-year-old, despite being twice the age of Vince, he wouldn't be able to match up to Vince because he does not have the right knowledge. He does not have the right experience to talk about internet marketing. So again, experience is relative. In a sense where if you believe you need more experience, go out and talk to more people. Step up.
Right. And I would guess, I mean, everything, like you say, everything has to start from somewhere at the end of the day, right? So
definitely, yes.
So speak often enough. And if they could start from the university to begin with, and then that's how they could build that up to eventually speaking in front of professional CEOs and stuff like that.
You know, Vince, just to share as well, yep. I mean, when I started speaking, you know, I volunteered to speak in my high school. I was like 16 years old and I started speaking and whatnot. And I knew that one day there'll be people that would challenge me. They'll be like, oh, come on, you're doing the high school circuit, you know, but what do you know, right? So Vince, this is when you need to make a very committed decision. The decision I made was, you know what? I cannot lie to myself. You know, I may not have the experience of a 50, 60, 70 years old man, but what I can do though is I can get quality education. So I made sure, and Vince, you may know this already, I made sure, when there's opportunity, scholarships are available, sponsorships are available, I would apply for grants to further my studies. And that has actually gotten me to do programs to learn from the likes of Harvard, Stanford, and INSEAD, three of the world's leading institutions. They have taught me when I was just 21. So what happened when I came out, and people would say, Michael, you're so young. And I say, I am young, but at the same time, I've been so blessed. I'm so grateful that I've had these great institutions who have taught me in the past.
Right.
Again, you know, if you lack experience, go for quality education. All right. And invest more in programs, real life programs, like all of you with Vince. It helps because this is the real practical experience that he's bringing to you.
Got it. We've got another question here. Leila just want to know if you are interested to speak in Africa.
Leila, let me share something with you. I love Africa. In fact, in my journey to 39 countries so far, I was actually in Zimbabwe, I was in Kenya, I was in South Africa, I was in Ethiopia, I was in Liberia. Africa is amazing. I would love to go back there again. So if there's an opportunity, let me know. Let Vince know. Because Vince and I, we work very closely together. Would love to, Leila. Would love to go back to Africa again.
Thanks, Leila, for that. And Tony says this. As you are a local company, what is the value proposition to your customer and your competitive advantage versus those big, big foreign players?
Well, I would believe when you talk about competitive advantage or value proposition, I mean, I can tell you right here for Thriving Talents, we would say that we are the millennials talent development company. All of our research, our training, our seminars are focused on getting you, number one, as the business owner or as the company leader, to understand the largest group of your employees and the largest group of your customers, who are the millennials, the young people. Okay, the largest group in the middle class right now, we help you understand them. And how we do that is because we are millennials ourselves. So we know the resources, we know the materials. Number two, in terms of the competitive advantage we have, we customize our solutions to you. However, Tony, let me share this with you. Whatever value proposition you share with your client, at the end of the day, from my experience, doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, if you do not have good relationship with the client, if you do not seem to be genuine, to be honest, to help them, they wouldn't give you the business. So at the end of the day, I understand there's a lot of business seminars out there that would ask you to write down your value proposition. You can write it down, but never forget the fact. It always comes down to human relationship. The better relationship you have with people, the more deals, the more business you're going to get.
So what you're saying is that, you know, whatever the competitive advantage or unique selling proposition and stuff like that, if you have great relationship to begin with, or the other person is having great conversation with you, even if you are not, if you lack of certain advantage over the big boys, you can still get the deal.
Of course.
Right.
A lot of deals are made based on human relationships. And again, one more tip I want to share with all of you. Again, thank you, Tony, for the question. People like localized content. They love localized content. Okay. So sell to them localized products or services, and sell to them the point that you can understand the target market. And most importantly, you know, be out there, promote your business, show them your passion. If you have high energy, I hope you all could feel my energy right here. If you have high energy, just like me, people will resonate with you. There you go.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay, Michael, I mean, we're coming to an end. Maybe you could share, you know, probably what would be one of the last few tips or, you know, word of advice or your favorite quote to end this webinar.
My favorite mantra comes down to two things. Number one, never wait for opportunities, always create an opportunity. And I want to applaud all of you for joining Vince's program. He's been a great mentor of mine, and I'm sure he's going to bring you a lot of value. My second point I want to share with you is, if you want to change your output, you need to change your input. So know this, I'm glad you're listening to this webinar right now. I'm glad you're all joining us. Thank you again, Vince, and I wish you all the best in your business and life success.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Michael. It's been a pleasure, and I think this is probably one of the best webinar sessions we have had to date, and I think everybody will agree with that. And thank you again, and hopefully we can catch up with you in person one of these days. Maybe I could kidnap you to a couple of countries and we can speak to these people in person as well. So
I would love to.
All right.
I would love to. I would love to. Thank you again, everybody. Thank you, Vince. And have a good night, everyone.
Thank you, Michael. Good night. Thanks, everybody.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye.